Anna.
Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia Territory of the Gidimdum Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en. Hello, ladies and gentlemen of the Bulkley Valley. Here we are again for a Monday night, and I have a special guest from Smithers, living on Hudson Bay Mountain Road, Nikki Skuse. Nikki, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We had kind of fun the other Friday. On Friday, I didn't know it was the 13th.
I know. Don't ever book travel plans on Friday the 13th.
No, and the plane... We were sitting by the tires there that came down, and we thought we got her made, and up they go, and off we go back to Vancouver. So it was kind of a challenging weekend, but we've made it alive.
Yeah, good to be back home.
Yeah, you're not kidding. So, Nikki, I'd like to kind of get the show sort of rolling and talking. It's all about you, of course, we're here, and we're kind of... curious with all the people in the valley as to how they ended up in Smithers. That's always sort of I find that kind of mind-boggling, because when you go to a bigger town, you think that's where people want to live, in Victoria or somewhere else. But to end up and put your life into Smithers, it always is a curiosity to me. So I would like to know sort of where were you born?
Oh, we're going back that far.
Yeah.
Well, I was born actually in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And that's a beautiful spot down there.
Well, I haven't been back since I was 4 years old.
Whoa, right. So were you used to the desert life? You probably didn't get enough of it, eh?
I don't know.
Yeah. So then you ended up coming up to Canada.
Yeah, so my dad's originally from Ottawa, and my mom was from, is from Florida.
Right.
And my older sister was born in Montreal, and I was born in Arizona, and then my brother was born in Toronto, and I grew up in Toronto mostly.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Quite an international family.
Yeah. Well, transboundary anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have a brother down in L.A., and I've got a son in Virginia.
Okay.
And, you know, our connection between America and Canada, we're kind of tight, I like to believe, anyways. So Toronto, it was a pretty big city,
mm-hmm.
and you had to go through school there, and it would have been a great place to stay, but you made some changes.
Yeah, I was... I also grew up going to a summer camp every summer and spending a month at least on a lake outside of Toronto.
Nice.
And really fell in love with nature and doing things like canoe trips and
right.
and doing a bunch of outdoor activities, swimming in lakes and that sort of thing. So that sort of instilled that kind of love of nature. And then when it was time to go to university, I picked a place I'd never been, which
right.
was Vancouver. And so I got out to UBC.
Wow. So you came out to the West Coast, and kind of once you get here, it's kind of a little bit hard to go back. My wife is from St. Catharines, not mm-hmm. too far, and she came out also. And when I met her, I wouldn't let her go back for a while, you know. But so UBC is a pretty cool university.
Yeah.
And so you did a run through there?
I actually... I was admittedly a little bit bored my first year because we did grade 13 in Ontario. And so I decided to apply for an exchange program through a thing called Canada World Youth. And so I was selected, and I took my second year off of university, and I was in placed with a group, and you're sort of paired and have a host family and do volunteer work. Both in Canada and abroad, and we were placed in the Gaspésie in the Baie des Chaleurs in Quebec for 3.5 months, and then we went to Northern Africa and Tunisia in Tozar at the beginning of the Sahara for 4 months. And so when I came back from that, then I decided really to focus then my studies on Canadian studies and international relations, my right. degree rather.
Right.
And but after a year and a bit, I started getting itchy feet again. So I applied to do a year of school abroad. And so I went to Melbourne University for a year. And then finally finished up at UBC. So it did take me a while.
Wow, but what a trip mm-hmm. around there, and to kind of introduce yourself to different cultures.
Yeah.
And I mean, even going back to Quebec and learning to live in a French community, and that to me is something I always wanted to try and do, but never did get to that level.
Yeah, and that was the time of the Charlottetown Accord, too. So right. it was like very political. And also, I had done French immersion growing up, but then, you know, I stepped into this Quebec household and I was like, I don't remember how to say frying pan anymore.
Yeah.
The basics.
That's right.
So it was
yeah.
good.
No, that is so cool. And I mean, even look at today, what just happened today, we had Chrystia Freeland resign and the whole country has gone into a panic. We're concerned about what's, you know, politics. Mm-hmm. It's so a big part of our lives. Even if you're not right downtown Ottawa, we're still being affected by it. So you've gained a lot of experience on that mm-hmm. route through your university. And then you ended up with a degree in international studies, did you?
Yeah, international relations and Canadian studies, a double major. So
right, mm-hmm. right. So that's that's going to have to set you up, like, you know, well, how am I going to get a job? What am I going to do? You know?
Yeah. So I had a little bit of work experience after university doing things. I worked for the Environmental Youth Alliance. Mm. Then I got a job with the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology. And I learned a lot doing that job. Oh. I was there for about a year, but it was in an office in downtown Vancouver with no windows.
Right.
So yeah. after a year, I sort of started thinking, well, how can I get a job that's more about my passion?
Yeah.
And so I ended up applying for an internship, and I got positioned in Buenos Aires in Argentina to work for an environmental law firm for 9 months. So I went and did that. And when I was done there, I was sort of very transient in Vancouver, sort of just subletting a room for the summer. And that's when I got this job posting from a whole bunch of friends who were like, oh, Nikki, I think this is a good job for you. And it was to organize an international environmental conference, but based out of Smithers. And I was like, weird.
What the heck?
Yeah. So I applied and I got an interview. This is with the organization One Sky, who used to be based out of here. Mike Simpson
right.
was the executive director. And I think in the interview, most of my questions were, you know, could I handle living in a small town, and what did I like to do for fun?
Mm-hmm.
if I could
yeah.
handle
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So you've had some amazing opportunities to mm-hmm. Go and expand your sort of realm. And then this idea of coming to a small town to actually have a good job here. And that is a good way to sort of get started.
Yeah, and it was only for 4 months at first, too. So I thought, oh, okay, well, if I don't like it very much, then it's just 4 months. It's
yeah.
just,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
which is fine. And then and if I do, then hopefully I can make it work. So
right, right. Well, that sounds very cool. Well, we try to mix a few songs in as we go. We've got your playlist that I've kind of put together on Spotify. And I know how difficult it is to try to figure out, get 4 songs out of all your lifetime of songs, but you've picked some nice songs.
Thanks.
And so let's get ourselves into this first one. You've picked the Indigo Girls, and the song is called Closer to Fine. Was that something that was you felt connected?
Yeah, so I picked this one because I was, you know, just in thinking about my path or whatever. This song came out while I was at summer camp, and it was a song that we'd sing around the campfire and that sort of thing. So
right.
I thought that would be a good song to tribute to that part of my life.
That sounds great. Well, let's give it a go here.
I'm trying to tell you something about my life. Maybe give me insight between black and white. And the best thing you ever done for me used to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. Yeah. Well, darkness has a hunger that's insatiable. And lightness has a call that's hard to hear. And I wrap my fear around me like a blanket. I sail my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. And I went to see the doctor of philosophy with a poster of Rasputin and a beer down to his knee. He never did marry or see a big great movie. He graded my performance. He said he could see through me. I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind. Got my paper and I was free. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. I stop by the bar at 3 a.m. to seek some possibly a friend. And I woke up with a headache like my head against a board, twice as cloudy as I'd been the night before. And I went in seeking clarity. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountain. And we go to the doctor. We go to the mountains. We look to the children, we drink from the fountain. Yeah, we go to the Bible, we go through the workout. We read up on revival, we stand up for the lookout. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find. Closer I am to find, closer I am to find, yeah.
That's a pretty cool song.
Yeah.
And I just took a little bio on the song off of Spotify, and they are saying that the it's the late 80s female singer-songwriters from Athens, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Amy Ray and Emily Saliers are celebrated for their social and political activism on Native American rights, LGBTQ, and protection of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of fits up your alley.
It does, indeed.
And it's so interesting that you've got this sort of approach that's come right out of camp. Like my camp, I went to Vancouver Sun Camp with a newspaper, and you do get sort of a nature sort of development there, but there was always a lot of, structure going for who was the strongest, who was the best, and I needed a little more of your type of camp, you know, to get.
Yeah,
me,
so. It was great. It was, and you know, I've made some lifelong friendships from there too. So
that
that's
is
pretty
so
lovely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this whole nature thing, or this whole outdoor, like when you were in Vancouver and you were stuck in a building with no windows. And then after you would get outside, and Vancouver's such a beautiful city for outdoor activity.
Yeah, I would, and I'd ride my bike to work, but then they didn't have the good bike lanes that they do today, so it was quite treacherous. Right. But
so it was dangerous.
That was pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So they, this trip now that you took down to Buenos Aires, like that must have been completely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And just... how did you language fit into that affair?
Yeah, so I, as I mentioned, I did French immersion growing up, and I had, and so I was fairly fluent in French. And so when I was at UBC, I decided to take a Spanish 101 course.
Right.
So I got the sort of basic grammar foundations and that sort of thing. And then I traveled to Cuba for a month on my own at one point, and I could have, you know, engaging sort of political conversations, but probably mostly in the present tense, and, you know, would have to muddle through some words. But I was pretty confident going to taking this internship and being able to communicate in Spanish. But then I arrived in Buenos Aires, and after a couple of days, I was like, oh my goodness, I can't understand anybody.
Yeah.
The accent's quite different. And so once you get your ear attuned to that, then it's quite easy to figure out, or it settles it out. Yeah. So like instead of... the Y or the double L being yo, the, like that kind of y sound, like yo me llamo Nikki, you say che, so it's like yo me llamo Nikki. So it takes a while to get used to.
Exactly. Yeah. And so what were you actually doing down there? Like what was your purpose?
So I was working. I was placed at an environmental law organization called La Fundación Ambiente de Recursos Naturales, and the part of what I was doing was which led into my work that I ended up doing here a little bit too. Was there was a United Nations meeting in the 90s called Rio, like it was the Rio Conference.
Right.
And that was the one that came out with Agenda 21, which was a bunch of commitments around and coined the term sustainable development.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was going to be coming up on a 10-year anniversary. And so there was a little bit of work that this Argentinian law firm was doing towards that. And so I just, you know, helped write things, helped translate things into English. And just sort of, I don't know, learned a lot, helped with their, you know, archive things and do whatever was needed. So.
And what a great place to hang out and then just sort of learn this type of sort of environmental lifestyle that kind of kicked into your lifestyle further down the road. In that opportunity, did you get a chance to meet your husband down there?
I did. We're not married, but yes, I met my life partner down there. We about a month after I got there, I went to a tango bar called El Bar de Roberto, which is a really old, you know, one of the old bars in Buenos Aires that has super high ceilings and lots of dusty bottles, you know, lining the shelves. And it was packed. And there was a couple of singers that would come out at 1 o'clock in the morning until 6 a.m. or something
wow.
like that.
Yeah.
And with a guitarist and a singer, and they would sing tango. And on this particular night, there was a table full of people, and Facundo caught my eye, and I guess I caught his.
Yeah.
And met 24 years ago.
Wow. I can't believe it's been that long already.
Yeah,
that is so cool. And so from that point, then this is after you were saying now you ended up with this job with OneSky. How did that fit in? Like, did you finish the job in Buenos Aires and then move on back to Vancouver?
Yeah, that was for a set period of time. It was for 9 months. And then I did actually end up getting a contract before my job up here started to go back to Buenos Aires and do something for the International Institute for Sustainable Development. And so I did a contract for them, and so then I went back, which gave me enough money to go back. And so then I went back to visit for us to figure out how we were going to make try to see if this should work. And and then while I was here doing that short contract that I first got, I was he was able to come visit.
And I imagine when you come from a different area and you come to Smithers, there's sort of some feeling that it is a kind of a cool place. It's got the mountains that attract us. Mm-hmm. But coming out of Buenos Aires is a very cool place too. And so to make that decision that you guys are going to live in Smithers, it's a bit of a decision.
Well, and I wasn't sure that I was going to live, how long I was going to live here either at the time. And so, it's incredibly different, a city of 14 million people to a town of 5,000, and we're very kitty corner in the Americas. So we couldn't get much further unless he was from kind of Tierra del Fuego and I had been in the northern Yukon or something. But pretty different. But he also grew up going on camping trips and going, his dad grew up in the country, and so had also exposure from his childhood to being outside and having a love of nature. And the city can be exhausting too. Exciting and great, and can be exhausting.
There's so much going on, but it's so important to get that little nature connection. And the one thing I like about Smithers is we're semi-centrally located. If you want to go to the Yukon or you want to go down south, I mean, Buenos Aires is quite a bit further to go, but we do have that opportunity if we need to get back in a city or something. Mm-hmm. If we go back to the OneSky contract now, what was the purpose of that particular?
Originally it was to organize an international environmental conference. And at the time, there was the Canadian International Development Agency used to provide support to some nonprofit organizations across Canada who then would also partner with organizations in other countries, whether Guatemala or El Salvador or Sierra Leone or what have you, to work on some capacity building project or a farming project or a renewable energy project, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And so the idea was to have to bring together those organizations.
I see.
And talk about this Rio+10 conference again, to organize what were some of the demands, how did we want to hold the different governments to account, and what should be pushed forward. So.
Very interesting, Nikki. It's really interesting work and challenging. Where did the Rio conference go? Is it still focused?
No, and so it turned into the World Summit on Sustainable Development that was hosted in South Africa in 2002, and it had some moderate successes. Mm-hmm. But I would say, since then there's been the Sustainable Development Goals, but I would say that we're like politically right now in the world, that's probably, we're failing on many fronts to ensure
sustainability.
Yeah, sustainability and supporting justice and getting people out of poverty and access to water and some basic human rights.
Yeah. And we are struggling it's probably a very difficult period right now because the price situation has gone extreme. And we've also got a very extreme difference in income, and we've got people at the top of the scale and a lot of people at the bottom of the scale. And so we're always sort of battling to try to find a way to make that work better.
Yeah, I think when you add the sort of pandemic, climate change impacts, war in Ukraine, all of these things that are impacting food supplies and that sort of thing, it really does drive prices up and makes people feel more vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you deal with that, Nikki? How do, like, there's so many things. Do you get overwhelmed? Do you feel like it's too much? But or can you sort of separate it and kind of realize we can only do so much?
Well, I think I've dedicated my life to working on trying to create change and change that hopefully that I always wanted, you know, to leave a better future for my kids and theirs. It can sometimes be very disheartening. Absolutely. And so try to do things also that just, you know, small things that bring me joy. And I've really, in the last couple of years, tried to do more of that, you know, even just stopping for a moment and feeling the sun in your face. Just really taking those small moments, going outside here, going for a little walk by the river, doing little things that I find really helpful to ground and energize to keep going.
That sounds fantastic. So let's try and slide another song in. This one here is actually, it's not really a peaceful song. It's kind of a thought-provoking song. We're calling this fellow, from the information I've been able to get on him, Spearhead.
Well, Spearhead was the band. Michael Franti is the singer.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I thought I'd put this on my list as... I've always loved political the songs and creating change through art also. And so I really liked Ani DiFranco, for example, or, you know, would listen to pretty political songs, or even the song, you know, Revolution by Tracy Chapman, et cetera.
Right.
So this fits into that category
really well. All right, well, let's see if we can get her to come
on. And
I
got to see them live. Quite a few times.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Where?
They even played Free in Vancouver on Commercial Drive before their concert, their paid concert. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool thing to do.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Our 9 to 5 it starts in the PM, and I love the sunrise, so I step out in the AM. The street is black and shiny from the nightly rain. The glory of the light brings evaporation. Mornings fresh, oxygen cleanest. I take a deep hit, help my mind stay the greenest. I'm already awake, so I'm not drinking coffee. Don't want a cigarette, cause it's a form of slavery. Walk into the store, cause I need a few items. The sun heats my blood like a hit of vitamins. I need to buy some food for my dreads. I can't remember why, but I need a spool of thread. Well, a man with dirty dreads, he steps around the corner. He asks me for a dime, a nickel or a quarter. I don't have any change, so I'm stepping along. But as I'm walking past, he sings to me a song. There's a hole in the bucket to eat my winter in it. Dear Eliza. There's a hole. I'm humming the song. The buses and the people all keep moving along. To the shopkeeper, I say, what's up? And I'm thinking about the man who's holding up the cup. I pay for all the stuff and get a pocket full of change. Well, should I give it to the man? It's a question in my brain. What's gonna happen if I give the man a dime? I don't wanna pay for another brother's wine. What's gonna happen if I give the man a quarter? Will he find a dealer and try to place an order? What's gonna happen if I give the man a nickel? Will he buy some food or some pork that's been pickled? I'm not responsible for the man's depression. How can I find compassion in the midst of a recession? How can all these questions keep stepping through my head? And I still can't remember why I need a spool of thread. There's a hole in the bucket. Dear Eliza. There's a hole. There's a hole in it.
staring in my eyes just as I'm walking past. I'm trying to avoid him because I know he's gonna ask me about the coinage that is in my pocket, but I don't know if I should put it in his pocket. I walk right past to think about it more. Back at the crib, I'm opening up the door. A pocket full of change don't mean a lot to me. My cup is half full, but his is empty. I put back on my cap and I start heading back. I reach into my pocket and I have a heart attack. Well, as I'm digging deep, I scream, oh no, there's nothing in the pocket but a great big hole. Well, I was busy thinking if he would buy smack. The jingle in my pocket slipped through the cracks. But now I know the reason why I had to buy the thread, because there's a hole in the bucket. Dear Liza, 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 dear Liza, there's a hole, there's a hole, there's a hole.
Boom. Mm-hmm. That stopped pretty good. And that's a thought-provoking little song. I got a little bio that I picked up on the hole in the bucket. That R&B, hip-hop, folks, soul, rock, reggae, singer-songwriter Michael Franti fuses his themes of love, community, and social consciousness. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, if you listen to that song, you can kind of feel that the top of the scale to the bottom of the scale. Like, what are we doing to try to even that out? And we got a hole in the bucket.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Well, that's we're hitting the midway point already, Nikki. It goes so quickly. And so I just wanted to do my station ID again, letting our listeners know we're on CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. And we have some sponsors that have been helping us. We're a completely volunteer organization, and we get a little bit of help from a Ranch House Tattoo. You know, we've got Classic Sanitary, and we've also got the Phoenix Self-Care Studio and BV Concert Association. So I just let us know that the host, myself, Thomas Tom Roper, and tonight we're interviewing one of our local Smithers person, Nikki Skuse, and we're getting a little bit of information about really how she got to Smithers and what is she doing in Smithers to enjoy herself, to be part of her community involvement. And so I could bring you back to that, Nikki, and just thinking about if we carried on with the One Sky, and this is sort of the period of time where you're kind of deciding that maybe you could live in this community and stay here versus going to other ones. Did that come in that time period?
Not so much, but what happened actually was 9/11, awfully. So I moved here in July 2001, and I and this organization, One Sky, had a partnership project with an organization in Sierra Leone in West Africa that had been in civil war for a long time. The war was really driven by diamonds. and control of diamond mining. And the events of 9/11 happened, and the executive director had asked if I would like to go there and help with that project as a follow-up to the other work that I'd been doing. And I think it really motivated me to do so, and just continue to sort of have that global outlook.
Right.
And felt really lucky and privileged that I could do it from a place like Smithers.
Right. Which sort of such an opportunity. It's yeah. kind of hard to believe, really.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds just fantastic. Mm-hmm. So at that time, then you and Facundo were partnering, and you decided that he would come up here and he kind of settled for a while.
Yeah, well, it was. I mean, it's a bit of a bumpy journey. Yeah. Like he came up here for I think 2 months initially, and then went back, and then came again for 6 months, and I think we got a visa extension.
Right, right.
For another little bit, and then he went home, and then they refused to give him a visa. So then we had to apply for permanent residency. So right. it was sort of all sort of up and down, up
right,
and down
right.
kind of thing. But yeah, then eventually. He came here, and I had, you know, and by that time sort of had been here for a while.
So. Right, right. And had you thought about, like, the beautiful property that you have? Was that in the picture, or was that something we
No, that on? Didn't happen for a while because mm-hmm. social justice and nonprofit environmental right. sustainability work doesn't always pay very well.
You're right, right.
And also still wasn't sure if this is right. this is the place. Yeah. And so, when things were quite a bit more affordable mm-hmm. is when we bought kind of a rundown shack that was sitting on rotten spruce logs and made it livable, this sort of 600 square feet
right.
Place right. for 5 years. And then when my daughter was two, we needed to, they were starting to get a little bit of black mold and
right.
such.
Right.
So we decided, and we knew eventually anyway, we would have yeah. to do something. So yeah. we... So that's when we built our home that we have now.
That sounds very sweet. Now, most people, when they come to Smithers, like it's a type of town that housing is tight. And I hear lots of stories about living in a tent and all the issues that when you're first starting out, I had no running water, you know, no electricity. And you have to kind of work your way up. And it's not costly. Mm-hmm. But at the time when I purchased, which is quite a long time ago, the price of the 20 acres was $20,000. And mm-hmm. I thought, that is so expensive, you know. And now you look at it, that same property is $200,000.
You couldn't even get a closet.
Yeah. So it's just incredible. And, you kind of wonder, well, where is everybody working to have that kind of money to go, and it's the same start that they're going to have, but at a different level than what we had, you know? Mm-hmm. And they got to somehow finagle their way in. But anyways, it's never easy.
No. It was hard, and I was also very fortunate when mm-hmm. I came up here. I got, I would house sit for various people who were either wintering away or dealing with unfortunate health circumstances,
right.
like cancer treatments, or going on their own adventure. So,
yeah,
so
yeah.
those sorts of things allowed house sitting. And then I did find a rental
right.
for a couple of years.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
you know,
that sounds very common for us for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, let's slide another song in because time goes by so quickly.
Okay.
And I've got a couple of my own in the back there that I want to get, but I don't think we'll get them in
okay.
there. But this one here, I've fallen in love with. And that's one of the cool things of listening to playlists. Now, this is Sarah Harmer, and her song is Lodestar. We'll just chat about it in a minute.
Okay.
Pushed the boat from shore, breaking the air. reflected in the harbor, silently ignite. The ore dips into oil like water, and we are away. Tonight, but your mind may wander into those deep lagoons that you know, and your boat will go by starlight alone. Da 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 da. You sang. No lodestar inside.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Swedish Community Radio.
Intensity of stars reflected in the water, silently ignite. The ore dips into oil like water, and we are away under the moon in the gray.
Cello.
It's an amazing song, isn't it? Yeah. Just a beauty. I was reading a little bit about Sarah, and she's from Kingston, Ontario.
Yeah, you started off the Tragically Hip. She's from Kingston too. So she was friends with a bunch of people that had gone to Queens that I knew, and then were at SFU doing the environmental management program.
Right.
And we played Ultimate Frisbee together. And so there's sort of a Sarah Harmer connection amongst that circle of friends. But I listened to her quite a bit, and I love that song. And and Facundo actually sang it to me on our anniversary a couple years ago.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. Yeah, that's pretty sweet. The other thing that was interesting that I thought with her is she actually started a group called Peel. And they were trying to save part of the Niagara Escarpment.
Yeah.
And my wife is from that area.
Oh, okay, she's an activist,
So she's very much an activist. Yeah. So we're closing quickly, but I really got to know a little more of what your program is in Smithers, where you are now, because I've been following you on Mining Watch.
Sure. Now have a small nonprofit organization or initiative called Northern Confluence.
Mm-hmm.
And the main goals really are to improve land use decisions that support and respect Indigenous rights and title, and are towards better stewardship too, in particular of our salmon rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And so in looking at the Northwest, one of the biggest industrial impacts is mining.
Yes.
And in particular now with a big push for so-called critical minerals, there's, you know, even more mineral staking and activity going on. And so after the Mount Polley mine disaster happened, it became clear that there wasn't very many people working on mining issues. A lot of organizations, including myself previously, had worked, you know, I worked to stop the Enbridge Northern Gateway Pipeline and Tanker Project. And there was a lot of environmental organizations focused on climate change and oil tankers and pipelines, and also, you know, protecting old growth. And all of those are very important things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't much attention on the mining front. And so we decided to organize some people and ended up getting the Environmental Law Center students to do a whole scale review of all the mining laws in British Columbia and look at where there was gaps and where improvement was needed.
Mm-hmm.
And make a series of recommendations. And that sort of provided the foundation then for community-based groups and other nonprofit organizations to come together in what we call the BC Mining Law Reform Network.
Right.
And so then I'm the co-chair. The co-chair of that.
Right. Oh, that sounds very, very interesting and a very needed situation that we're involved in. I was happy to hear that Mount Polley is going to be discussed.
Finally
after 10
facing
years.
Charges. Yeah. Yeah, it's been so egregious. I mean, you have the largest environmental mining disaster in British Columbia's history, you know, that had 25 cubic meters mine sludge that just burst through and destroyed Hazeltine Creek and went into the pristine Quesnel Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And all they've gotten since then is permits to continue polluting in the lake and discharging wastewater. And they got, you know, permits to just patch up the tailings dam because it had been emptied and start operating again. So it's been quite egregious. So it's good to see that some kind of justice might happen. But it's been a long time coming, and we're still not aware of exactly what the indictment, the charges are or how much they might.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now what happened to our Spotify? We threw that out. Let's see if we can bring it back. It's looking good, because I would really like to play your partner's song. See if we can make that come through for us.
Yeah, so this is his band, Los Gringos Salvajes, and they're going to be playing on New Year's Eve. Too.
Perfect.
Yeah, at Driftwood Hall for people to come out and see.
That's going to be a very exciting time. And the last time I saw them was at the... in Kispiox.
Oh, okay.
And they just packed the place.
They did. I remember that dancing.
That was a lovely night.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Afternoon. And this song is I think if this is the one that I chose, it's about his grandfather's hat. So he sort of sometimes tells just little stories also.
Right.
And this is about his grandfather had passed away, but his hat remained on the hook and nobody would move it.
Right. Yeah. That sounds pretty cool. Yeah. Okay, let's give it a try.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. And you just get that. You want to start tangoing, even though it's not even a tango record, but it felt so good. And it's so interesting. Like, I mean, as an English speaker, we'd have no idea that we're talking about the hat, but we just got the feel of the music to kind of live with, you know. It was pretty cool. So I've got a little bit off of his website that Facundo cut his teeth before immigrating a few years ago with traditional music forms such as
milonga
and bolero. Mm-hmm. frequently mixing it up with jazz, swing, punk, and electric fusion that is uniquely their own. Sung mostly in Spanish, the lyrics at once are gritty and poetic. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And nice listening.
Yeah, and everyone should come out on New Year's Eve and get your tickets at Driftwood.
It's going to be a fun time for sure.
Yeah,
that sounds good. So, Nikki, can you give me, is there something that you want to reach out to people with your work that they could come to you? Like, is there a website that would help them understand a little bit more?
Yeah, so that people can learn more about what I do at northernconfluence.ca is the website. And also there's the different social media channels for reformbcmining.ca or reformbcmining on Twitter, Blue Sky, I don't know, all the things, Facebook, wherever. Right. And LinkedIn, I think, also. So on the various platforms. And so there's some reports and information and actions sometimes shared through that.
Hmm. That sounds very interesting. Well, again, I'd like to thank you very much for coming out. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. And you have had a very interesting life, and you've got a very interesting life ahead of you. Your children are getting older and finding their way, and that keeps you on the ball, keeping after them.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't ask, which I wanted to squeeze in, is do you have a recreation that you kind of prefer? Are you like a scuba diver, or you're a parachuter, or?
I haven't scuba dived. I have jumped out of an airplane before, but nothing that extreme. I think mostly just hiking or cross country skiing or doing things like that. Yeah.
Fit right into the area here. Okay.
Thank you.
So we'll just have our little try our outro again, and I'll try and clean that up.
Okay. Thanks, Tom.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.